Welcome back to the Dumb Phone Show. My name is Jose Briones. Today we have CEO of Bagbee, Juan Sanchez, and he's going to be sharing with us what it means to have digital minimalism or digital well-being with a human soul, how to interact with our devices, but from a different perspective and to recover our offline time. Juan, tell us a little bit more about yourself. Tell us, how do you start this company? What is Bagbee all about? And why digital well-being with a human soul?
Hey, Jose, how are you doing? Thank you for inviting me to this podcast. It's really an honor for me to be part of this. We need more of these things, more of these sessions to, you know, raise awareness about this topic, because it's growing and it's not going to stop. we launched Bagbee. We created Bagbee after a Kickstarter campaign back in mid July 2017. I was still in Los Angeles, now I currently live in Raleigh, North Carolina. And my wife and I, like, we wanted to take our relationship to the next level. So, you know, after getting a little bit annoyed by, you know, the phones being in the bedroom and getting all the time distracted, sleeping less, waking up like with that kind of addiction to check the phone the first thing, I suggested her phone-free bedroom challenge. So Bagbee started like that. It started more like a couple's thing. So basically, this phone-free bedroom challenge consisted into, you know, I just basically grabbed two bags, hanging bags that I, you know, found in my home, and I hang them in the outside part of our bedroom. So basically, it was kind of a reminder for us to say, okay, this is a phone-free space, and, you know, like, the rest is history, right? So what happened with that is, like, you know, we started, like, sleeping better, and we were more connected as a couple as well. And what happened is, like, from there, you know, we realized all these benefits. So we launched, like, a Kickstarter campaign that was successfully funded. And, you know, from there, we started, like, thinking about, like, new products, things like that. And actually, the idea of Bagbee Digital Wellness with a Human Soul is a bit more recent. That was a branding change or a branding exercise that we started in 2019. And basically, the idea of digital wellness with a human soul is that, you know, we believe that there is a more human way to solve this current overwhelming technology smartphone addiction problem. And I think we can do it in a way that doesn't require or add more unnecessary technology. We want to do it without adding another app or another tech. You know, we believe that, you know, like, it's kind of contradictory to add more technology to the equation. I think, you know, like, at the end of the day, the end goal is to not only reduce our screen time, but more importantly, increasing our human time. And that is really the time that we spend, you know, peer-to-peer, outside, outdoors, engaging in real conversations, and the way we used to do it before smartphones. There is also, like, one important input on there, and is the fact that, you know, My entire career has been in digital marketing and social media, you know, so I work in international agencies or across the globe for about 15 years. So I also think that, you know, maybe I become adult finally, and I decided to, you know, move to the other side and start kind of removing a little bit of all that digital distraction that I created from my agency times, right?
That's really interesting that you mentioned that, because, of course, you know, you worked with these companies, the big companies, trying to sell a product, trying to appeal to the masses and to engage people in using that product or going into a specific advertisement system, creating content that was very marketable, for lack of a better word, you know, but sticky content that, you know, people will be attracted to. And of course, smartphones and the advent of social media has allowed companies to market and to target people more specifically. And even digital minimalism companies do that, you know, in order to kind of, like, hey, this might be the last advertisement that you will see because you will use our product from now on. But something that I really enjoyed from what you were saying is that you were trying to recover human time and to create non-tech products that allow us to regain that. So Bagby is, you know, just a bag, essentially. It's a nicely designed bag that you hang outside. It's a very low tech. It's not high tech. It doesn't have any trackers or any, you know, digital things that allow you to say like, hey, this is how long your phone has been in the bag, right? Like, you know, because in a previous conversation we had, we were talking about how like the world is obsessed with metrics, right? And you were mentioning that. But why is it so hard to create these low tech, very analog products nowadays, in your opinion? And somebody who has been in both markets, now you're fighting against the big companies, quote unquote, now, and before you were working for them and bringing all of this productive outcomes. So why is it so difficult? Why is it such a hard balance nowadays to create enjoyable, no tech products?
So yeah, thank you for asking me this, you know, because I think it's a very interesting question, and I think that's the essence of what's happening right now. So, you know, in our core beliefs, you know, there are two that are very important that address that issue. You know, one is what we call the fallacy of smart minimalism, and the other one is the unhealthy obsession for tracking. So the first one regarding digital minimalism is, you know, the minimalist were a big inspiration for me to create Bagby. And then something that I realized is like a lot of people were actually confusing the term minimalism with decluttering, right? So it's like, oh, and then I was like, actually minimalism is not about that. Minimalism is about keeping the things that are really important for you, you know? So then, you know, when I tried to enter the market of minimalism, people will tell me it's like, your products don't make sense because, you know, we are here try to declutter, right? So basically, if I use my phone, I don't need a book, I don't need an agenda, I don't need a GPS, I don't need any of these things, so I have more space. So it got me a little bit confused, right? So I started like digging more into the topic, and then I came up with this theory that I call the fallacy of smart minimalism. And this is basically that, you know, there's so much tech that we haven't really, you know, like nobody... You know, technology is something that is just around us so much that we don't even think about something that doesn't have technology, you know? And what I realized is like, you know, over the last about like 15, 20 years is we think that we actually declutter a lot of things thanks to technology. Again, you know, like I don't need a book. I have a notebook. I have a notes app in my phone. I don't need a GPS. I can use my phone. I don't need to call, I can use the social media. And I think what happened with that is like silently, without even, you know, like being being aware of that, we have actually been decluttering items, but we have been actually losing our freedom because we do everything in our phones nowadays. So that means that it's normal that we are addicted to our phones because we are actually doing everything, you know. For example, I'm gonna put you a clear example. Alarm clock. An alarm clock is one of our top selling items, and it's because, you know, we did a research in 2017 and it's more or less the same right now. 99% of people that you ask, how do you wake up in the morning? They are going to tell you with their phones. So, you know, like, again, it's a good thing that we don't have an alarm clock, so we decluttered an item in our bedroom. But on the other hand, the problem is that, you know, we have the phones there, so we're going to check the phones before going to sleep. We're going to reach out to our phones the first thing in the morning. So at the end of the day, if you think about what is important there, you can see how decluttering an alarm clock or getting rid of an alarm clock in your bedroom is actually not that of a minimalist thing, because you are losing 3 hours of sleep when you go to bed. You are unintentionally scrolling. You're going to wake up in the morning with the fear of missing out with this FOMO thing. And you're going to reach out to your phone, right? If you just make that move to remove your phone from the bedroom and add an alarm clock, you're going to wake up and sleep much better, you know? So there are also a lot of things like, I started like digging on more these smart products. And, you know, there are things like a tea mug that measures your temperature and connects to your phone to tell you that, you know, it's too hot or it's too cold, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, we have to really ask ourselves, like, do we need that type of smart products? Mm-hmm. Again, I'm not against technology, you know, like, but there are some of these smart products that to be honest, we don't really need them. And the only thing that is happening is that those are getting us hooked to our phones the more and more.
Right.
So that's right. That's one of the parts, you know. And I think it's very important that we ask ourselves that question. And the other thing, sorry, is the unhealthy obsession with tracking, you know. All this revolution started really with social media and all this, but it was Fitbit. You know, Fitbit was, for me, kind of the big cause of this obsession with the tracking. And then, you know, suddenly, like, you have to track everything. You have to track how many steps you do, how many calories you eat, how many people, how many friends you have, how many likes you get, how many comments. You know, we are human beings. You know, we weren't born to track every aspect of our single life, you know. So what happened with that is like, you know, I remember when I was, you know, Fitbit was a thing and, you know, I remember like, oh, you know, I'm going to get fit, right? I'm going to get healthy. That was the end goal, right? And then what happened is like after a few months using it, I was more focused on getting more steps, even if, you know, like I will do them randomly just to get more steps than my friends, you know, than really getting healthy. And I realized that, you know, I went from getting healthy to actually becoming unhealthy because I was more focused on, you know, be more or get fitter or be more, get more steps than my friends. So at the end of the day, you know, we have to ask that question as well because, you know, like I feel with this obsession with tracking, we actually lose sight of the end goal. The end goal here with Fitbit is not counting the number of steps and beat your friend. It's actually getting healthier and fitter, right? So when we are getting like so much obsessed with this daily number, we lose sight of the end goal. And I think that is where the problem is, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I definitely agree with you because you are tying into our competitive nature as human beings, that we want to do more, we want to be better, we want to, quote unquote, beat, you know, the other people in our lives because we want to make sure that we somehow, you know, are one-upping them. And I think this comes in social media time and time again because you have the phenomenon of how many likes you have, how many shares you got, how many subscribers you get, right? Like, you know, there are so many different metrics that social media provides that compare us with one another. And it has led to, you know, a lot of studies about teen depression and, you know, just anxiety and kind of doubts that we have had from ourselves, you know, even, hey, I posted this video and it doesn't get as many as many watches or this podcast that I'm putting, like, you know, when I log in to my provider, right, in order to submit this, I log in and the first thing that I get to see is how many, you know, listens I have gotten in the past month and how is that compared to the previous month, you know, and that automatically kind of gets you into that mood of I want to do better, I want to do more, like I want to grow, right? Instead of just being content with, hey, I'm putting out a product out there, I'm happy with how it's impacting people and it doesn't matter if one person listens to it or 1,000, it's still there. You know, I created it. It gives me joy. So it seems that you have kind of removed that and you're focusing on low tech or no tech products, you know, and looking to regain that human soul equation and the tagline that you have. So why did you shift, right? Like, you know, you started with this kind of couples. It was about your wife reconnecting, kind of like in not having the phones in the bedroom, reading more, doing these things. But what made you pivot into the digital well-being? I've seen you sent me a video of the reels. Like, you know, you have a video that you showcase kids going into like, what do you prefer, a cereal or a phone? And, you know, most of the time they pick up the phone or, you know, it's quite funny and worrisome at the same time. But what made you shift towards, I want to work on digital well-being and helping people recognize that this is something that they may need help with?
I think it's because I became a parent. I think it's because I became a parent and then, you know, like we moved from, you know, the couple phone-free bedroom challenge idea. You know, I mean, sometimes I, you know, I, I love about it. You know, I have some friends, it's like, oh, so Bagby actually worked, you know, like you become a parent now, you know. Of course, there's a lot of many other factors involved to, you know, becoming a parent. I don't want to sound that, you know, just removing your phone is gonna help you have a kid, right?
Right, or regain intimacy or whatever exactly. It is, right?
I mean, you know, you regain intimacy, but, you know, again, there's a lot of factors and problems that goes into bring life to, you know. But, you know, I think I became a parent and also I saw the opportunity for companies where, you know, like you see a lot of employees being disconnected, being unhappy. I started seeing also in companies that, you know, suddenly instead of just going to talk to your colleague and ask for something, it's like, oh, you know, like people started like doing by email, you know, even if I'm sitting next to you, you know. So I started seeing all these problems. And especially becoming a parent opened my eyes, you know. So I started like doing some tests with my first daughter. Because I, you know, again, if there is any parent in the audience, they will know and, you know, I can confirm that, you know, if you want to get them distracted and you want them like quiet, that you need sometimes is you give them a tablet or a phone and they can be like scrolling on YouTube videos forever, you know, and you are like, oh my God, you know, I got like, this is the only thing that keeps them quiet. So I was like really shocked, you know, and I started like digging and I'm like, you know what? I told my wife, we're going to run a home experiment. So the home experiment was basically really, I test the smartphone with another six simple items. You know, it can be like a banana, you know, like the milk, you know, very common items for kids, a book, a toy, even Cheerios, you know. And if you see the video with Cheerios, is the funniest one because she doubts a little bit, you know, stays on the side of the Cheerios and then goes to the smartphone. So basically, I filmed that like in a random day at home, and I just really grabbed my daughter, put her in the center, put the two elements, the smartphone and the other elements, just in front of her, and 3, 1, 2, let her pick. And you will be amazed, like in every attempt, in every choice, she mm-hmm. picked the smartphone. She was like 14 month old. So just like a year, started like walking and things like that. So I was like, oh my God, like she's so little, you know, she's barely 1 year like and a half, right? And when I run that experiment that, you know, you can see now on our Instagram, you know, we create this kind of more in a more like a real format, short videos. It's pretty like funny, but also like scary, man. You know what I mean? It's like, wow. You know, so I think this is for me one of the ultimate reason or the ultimate, reason for on which like, you know, I can tell you that phones are actually designed to keep us like hooked, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, if you can see it from your child, then how it's that going to develop as they get more autonomy, as they get to decide by themselves more things, and eventually, you know, they get into the economy and you have to use these things. Well, you know, here at the Dumb Phone Show, we talk about dumb phones, right? Of course. And you probably had a dumb phone at some point in time in your career because we grew up with that, right? But since, you know, you have quite extensive kind of use and analysis just on the side of the companies, right? Like, you know, you used to work with a smartphone and a dumb phone, and then you used to have just regular work as, you know, digital marketing and things of that nature. How did that change? How did that shift? You know, you probably started working in the early 2000s or, you know, late 1990s, and essentially you worked for 15 years and you had dumb phones at the time, and then you see the smartphone revolution. How did you see things going in that space, and what are some of the things that you decided at that, you know, now looking back, do you wish you just stick with the dumb phone, or you still, you know, hey, the iPhone, good. It's still a good thing.
I think, you know, like the difference between a dumb phone and a smartphone is like a smartphone is it's really a computer that you carry with you, you know, so you can do everything. But the thing is, like, you know, we don't need to do everything all the time, you know. And so I think it's great for work and a smartphone, you know, because, you know, you can do a lot of things that the dumb phones or normal phones didn't allow you, you know. But again, like, if you think about it, like, the real things that you need to do, like, you know, checking emails, messaging, you know, probably listen to a podcast, and all these things, you can do them in a phone, in a dumb phone, you know, because at the end of the day, the functionality of the normal phone or the first phones was to communicate, you know. Now in the smartphone, again, it's like what you have is more temptation, you know, like you have access to everything, so, you know, it's gonna steal time from you, you know, because you have that temptation there, and then you're gonna always like, oh my god, I'm gonna check, and then you have all the notification. I think the notification aspect is very important, you know. That's why the first thing, you know, I would recommend for everybody to do is, like, you know, really stop the notifications, you know. And there is a lot of, like, funny things with that, because, you know, like, I remember we used to say, like, well, there is something urgent, just call me, right? But now, you know, it's crazy. Like, now if you try to call a friend or someone, it's like, oh my god, you're crazy? WhatsApp me first, you know? You know, it's like, so, you know, like, I don't know, like, things are changing a lot. But I think, you know, a smartphone is a good thing in some aspects, especially for work. But I think, you know, a dumb phone gives you access to what you really need, you know, like, on those moments. Like, we don't need, like, full functionality to everything all the time, because, I mean, you just need to look at the stats on screen time on your phone, and, I mean, you will see, like, it's crazy that the average is, like, 5, 4, 5, 6 hours a day. I mean, if you remove the time you sleep, and then the time for, you know, eating or normal things, and it's crazy. I mean, you don't have much more time, you know.
Absolutely. I mean, a lot of people are spending a lot of time, and you know, I don't blame them either way, because having all of that functionality allows you to be more productive, or to check emails, or to respond. So you're going to be using, the more apps you have, the more your phone you're going to use. And that goes back to the initial point that you made, and that we were talking about, is that we have all these things in our smartphones nowadays, and that's why we're becoming dependent on them, because this high technology continues to call our names and say, well, hey, you want maps? You don't need a GPS anymore. Hey, you want radio? You can do it on your smartphone. You want email? You don't need a computer, you know, and that continues on and on and on into the different workspaces. So as we start wrapping up, you know, starting to the last part of the podcast, I want to ask you, how do you see coming up in the future, right? As COVID starts kind of receding in certain parts of the world, and we are not going to be, again, so much on telework or just remotely, how do you see people re-engaging and maybe catching that break from Zoom? You don't have to be on a Zoom meeting. You don't have to be on doing all of these tasks online anymore. Do you see a future for digital minimalism, or do you think the tech monopoly is just going to continue?
Yeah, that's a tricky question. I think, you know, I mean, technology is going to be there to stay, right? Like, I think the important thing is that we have options, and then, you know, we pick the choice that works better for us, you know. I think in the workspace, you know, I think it depends also on your personality. I think a lot of people realize that, well, actually, I enjoy working from home, for example. And other people is like, oh my god, you know, like, I really need to go to the office. You know, I think you have there, like, and this is like the debate a little bit between introverts and extroverts too, you know. Mm-hmm. There are people that need kind of that social energy and that social interaction more. So for some people, it's going to be better. For some people, it's going to be a bit harder to go back. But I think a lot of companies probably also realize that, you know, it's possible to work from home as well. So I hope, like, the benefit from that is, like, you know, like, the work becomes more flexible. We are giving more chances to work remotely that, you know, already is happening. But I think probably what is going to change is going to be probably also the real estate, the commercial real estate, the business is going to be like in a big crisis also, because, you know, there's going to be a lot of space that people are not using, et cetera, et cetera. But again, I think from a technology point of view, you know, at the end of the day, COVID just accelerated the digitalization of things, you know, because, you know, people might get annoyed during COVID because of the Zoom calls. But, you know, when you go back to the office, you're going to get annoyed by the normal meetings, you know. So the problem is more about creating or making meetings more productive, you know. So I don't think it's not really such a technology problem. It's more about, you know, like focusing on, you know, what really works, you know.
Absolutely.
But again, I think, you know, we cannot know, you know, the things are gonna hopefully go back to normal, and, you know, companies will adapt, people will adapt. And, you know, I think what is important is that we are given the choices and the options to make our own choices.
Right. And I mean, that's something that I like that you said, that we need to be given the choices. And that's something that I sometimes fear, you know, as someone who uses a dumb phone, I see some of the digitalization of things, and it's like, now I need a phone that scans a QR code to go to the restaurant, right? Probably not in my area. My area is pretty open, but I know in other parts of the country, it's quite necessary. If you're going to go to a restaurant, they may not have menus anymore. Or, you know, if you want to do this, is scan this or do this or open this app, right? And sometimes I think that can get annoying. And I think the idea of choosing, having the options, right? Like, you know, you have an analog option and you have a digital option. And I think your products, the products that you guys sell, that you guys, you know, are promoting, do give that option, right? Like, you know, you have a physical alarm clock, you have a bag that allows you to put your phone to disconnect. And those are good principles. Do you have any other kind of like ideas that you like to share with the audience, kind of like thinking at large or just in the digital minimalism space? What is something that you have been focusing on in order to bring that human time back into our lives?
Where we are, you know, we have different products for different audiences at different moments of consumption, you know, also for example, parents, you know, which is it's a big audience right now for us. But, you know, I think, you know, whether you use a product or, you know, a Bagby product or from any other competitor or something else, I think what is important is really not only focusing on reducing your screen time, but focusing on increasing your human time, you know. And that has to goes back to the idea of the unhealthy obsession of tracking, you know. So I think for me that is an important thing. Another thing that you know, I'm working on, and, you know, it goes back to the idea that you were talking about, like business companies and all this, is that I think we really need to bring all the digital wellness to the corporate space. Mm-hmm. You know, like, people are more distracted than ever. That impacts the productivity. There's many studies about it, and people are more disconnected as work. So this is something that is not only happening in an individual level. Is happening also in a more important level, which is the collaboration aspect, you know, the working with other people, they collaborate, they do things together. So that part, actually, digital wellness for the corporate space is something that you know, we are working on. And you know, I had this idea of building you know, the world's first digital wellness agency. So basically mixing my both passions, mm-hmm. digital marketing agency and digital wellness, and bring that to the corporate space.
Absolutely. A final question I have for you, and then I'll give you a final word so we can wrap up, is what are some of the personal things that you have done in this journey? You started this journey from 2017, right? You know, and you started changing a couple of things here and there. But nowadays, after COVID, you know, you have a company, you have to engage in the media market to a certain degree. But what are some of the things that you do in order to just turn off and go with family and do, you know, human time?
Yeah, good question. So basically, you know, I haven't brought my phone in the bedroom since 2017, right? My wife did. sometimes, right? But I haven't done that because for me, that is kind of the first key step that everybody should really take. It's a game changer. It really opens your eyes. You see the benefits immediately. So that is something. Another thing is like I use like a normal block of notes. Like I don't use my phone to put any notes there or anything, because otherwise I'm looking always for my phone. So I still use like a random basic block of notes that you know, paper that I write with a normal pen and etc. Another thing is I try to actually even like put my phone away during certain work hours. And you know, something that I've really been doing a lot and I think is very important is to, on Sundays, for example, I don't bring my phone with me. What I do is I really focus on my family. And I think it's important because, you know, like there is also this kind of live culture, like everything has to be posted live and we stop like enjoying the moment, right? So, you know, I would say like, I mean, it's fine. Like, you know, like you can take photos and, you know, obviously take videos of your family and things, or, you know, your workouts if you want to improve and all this. But, you know, we don't really need to post it live, you know, like enjoy the moment. I always say like enjoy the sunset. Right. And if you want, post it tomorrow. On Instagram, the sunset, post it tomorrow, you know, but enjoy it without your phone, enjoy the moment, because I think we're losing that. And I think it's a very, very important point, you know.
I agree. Absolutely. I agree. And, you know, to that point, I'm just thinking about, hopefully my friends are listening, because we're going to stick to this. Hopefully we decided we're going to take a trip to the New England area. We're just going to go explore. And I convinced them, hopefully they say yes, that week, you know, I convinced them on paper so far, but we're all going to switch to dumb phones that week. So everyone's going to just use a dumb phone. We're going to be traveling for a week. No posting, no social media, no anything. Like, we can bring our cameras, we can bring the video, and sure, eventually we will make something out of it, but we'll enjoy it. And I think that point is very, very necessary nowadays, because with something that happens in our life, sometimes it may be beautiful and we want to share it right away, or it may go quote unquote viral. It's so funny. It's so great. I need to share it. There's this compulsion. And I think you spoke to that, and I agree wholeheartedly.
It's actually, if you think about it, it has to do a lot of with ego, you know, because the other day I wrote like a quote that is like, you know, like before you post something, just like ask yourself, it's like, I'm doing this for my ego, or I'm doing this for the community. And I think that's important, because Instagram made this kind of feeling of, you know, I have to kind of show off a little bit, you know, and you know, like then people is like, oh my God, like this guy is always on holidays. This guy is always happy. And, you know, like life is a happy place, but you know, like, nobody's happy 24 hours, you know, and I think we are putting that image out there, and the generations probably like you or me, you know, like we lived in both, or we experienced both worlds, you know, so it's fine. Like, we know, you know, like, yeah, it's for the gram, whatever, right? But, you know, like new generations also, like the message is, it's a little bit wrong, you know, and I think that is also increasing a little bit, like, you know, things like anxiety and things like that. At the end of the day, if you think about it, like, this is a little bit of an addiction, you know, like my mom used to tell me, like, every generation has an addiction. And you know, we really need to look at this as such, and ask ourselves, like, you know, an addiction is actually a problem when you spend more time on the other side than on the normal side. So it can happen with alcohol, it can happen with drugs, with anything. If you are actually spending more time on the digital world than on the real world, and that counts when you post, when you film, when you use your phone, when you check social media, et cetera, et cetera, then, you know, it shouldn't be like that, you know? It's, yeah, like, absolutely. Again, use your phone, use your things, you know, go on social media. I also do it. I also post sometimes about my family. But, you know, like, keep track of the important part of the time, which is the human part, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Juan, thank you very much for coming to the podcast. I really appreciate it. And just having conversations about this just gets me excited, you know, because there's something to share, there's something to recall, there's something to reflect about all of this that we're talking about and the importance of just having that human time. As always, we like to give a final word to our guests. So whatever you want to say, go ahead.
So, I mean, you know, like we are all together on this, you know, like this is not about judging anybody or anything like that, you know, but I would just say that, you know, keep track. No, don't focus on keeping track of your screen time, but more on probably your human time. And again, if you are a parent, you know, like take your time to give the screen to kids, because, you know, they might not be way back to it. So, you know, like just enjoy and I think live the moment. I think is a very important point that I want to make. And, you know, obviously, if you want to learn more about us, you know, you can check our website, backbeat.co, and, you know, we'll be happy to answer any questions that you have. So thank you, Jose. Yeah.
That was Juan Sanchez with us, CEO of Backbeat, a company that focuses on rediscovering our human souls, digital minimalism, digital well-being for the human soul with human time. If you want to check more of them, go to backbeat.co. The links are in the description below. Thank you for checking out the podcast today. Make sure to share it if you can with a friend. And as always, we remind you to stay focused on your goals.